Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Question that came in through email, then I'll get to your chat. All right, this is a good one here. I need my glasses for this one. Hold on. All right, so this is from Michael. 10 years ago, I was an unlicensed contractor in the DC area and had a lot of little jobs that kept me afloat, and I earned 80 to 100 grand a year. I got a job as an overseas contractor working for the government. I've since left the government job, heading back to the States to try again. This is long. I'm paraphrasing. Thank you, Roz, for highlighting these things I can read. I have little to no money saved and two young children and a wife. I do not have a work vehicle. I don't have a brand, a website, or any real documentation of my previous work in the States for marketing purposes. So again, Dan, he basically was running under the radar as an unlicensed contractor in the DC area, never took pictures, didn't market his business, didn't blah, 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 right? Just taking money and doing his thing.
Yeah.
All right. Which a lot of people have done. Got a job. Now he's coming back. He's starting over. Here's his question. There's a bunch of stuff in between here, guys, but the gist of it is, what do you advise my first steps are in beginning this business? How much money should I have? So far, expected startup costs are around 100K. Any other questions you can answer or advice you can give would be of great help. So anything come to mind there right away, Dan?
There's a lot of unknowns there. I can historically go back. I started my paint business with 20 grand that I spent 100% on direct mail marketing after I identified who my target customer was. And then after I sold about 180 grand worth of work, I started looking for crews to start fulfilling it. So, you know, when I say, do you need 100 grand to start it? I don't know where he's pulling that number from, but I would start by trying to drum up some work and then basing off the budget where I think I got some cash flow coming in. But there's so much empty on the story, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, you know, guys, one of the things that we talk about in the fight behind the scenes with our coaches and our whole team is that we got to be very careful not to be given advice that we don't truly understand the context of, right? Because then we're just making a bunch of assumptions and this and that. But with the information given here, here's some thoughts of mine. First steps, Michael, do all the legal stuff, right? Whatever needs you got to do in your state, county, whatever, to be legal. You should hire a good attorney, Carolyn Cromeans. We recommend here in the fight, and she's in the Facebook group and all that other stuff. She's kick ass. She works in, I think, just about every state there is, and has a lot of great resources for contractors. Get all the legal stuff. Get a CPA. Make sure that, you know, the business entity is correct and it's going to protect you. Now, second, see, Dan, I had the privilege of thinking about this because I
that was a book.
Yeah, sorry. Second thing is, and this is one of our values in the fight we talk about all the time, is get oxygen. Okay? You have to get oxygen. So, number one, you've got to feed your family. And again, I'm not sure of your savings situation and how many months and all that other stuff you can go. You're coming from overseas. Doesn't sound like you have a lot of money saved, just based on what I know. But the number one thing right now is to get oxygen. And if that means that you need to get a job working for somebody else while you do your side hustle business legally on the side and you make some bank, I think that is an option, because there's a ton of people that want some skilled tradespeople and that would sub to you, and you don't have to go out and hunt for work, and you'll at least have some oxygen coming in. So don't let your ego get in the way of that. I guess the couple big things I put here, I wrote down, were number one, don't go into debt to do this. You can, like I said, work for somebody else. Get oxygen, don't go into debt. And then be fanatical about building your brand. Those are the two things I wrote in bold. But then I'm adding another one right now. And I think you got to decide what you want your business to look like in the future. I think that's actually, let's rewind everything. That should be the first thing, is what are you building? I don't know what the 100 grand's for, but I do know one of the beautiful things about being in the trade, you guys, you get to use OPM to build your business, other people's money. Okay. That's why you get deposits and things like that. if you're looking to drop $100,000, I don't know if you're thinking it like marketing and you got to buy a truck and all these. Okay, fine. That is what it is. Where I see a lot of contractors go wrong, Dan, and we talk about this. I know you talk about this on open coaching from time to time with people in our 100K group, is guys go out and they buy or they finance this equipment that they should just be renting in the time being. And then they pile up all this debt. So that's my concern with what I'm reading here. Not sure what that $100,000 is for, but I can tell you, I know a lot of people, and I'm one of them, that built multi-million dollar businesses. I think I started mine with $300.
Yeah, but yeah, clarity.
I brought up some fucking roller poles and handles and some shit like that. And I was in business and I printed up some cheap ass business cards and I hit the pavement. I didn't have a work truck. I bought a beater van off my uncle for $1,100 about 6 months into my business or whatever it was. So this is like that hustle and grind phase. So that's the beautiful thing about the trades.
Yeah, but you got to have clarity on what you're going to build to, and like specific services. Is there demand in your market? What's your ideal client? Otherwise, you're just going to be pissing in the wind with your money.
Yep, there you go. Apex Lifts on YouTube wants to know best way to find general contractors.
There's a million ways. Yeah, if I see a job that looks like a job I want to be a part of, I stop and I talk to somebody. It's usually not the owner, but I get the name. If I see a truck in traffic, I follow up with a phone call or an email request to get in front of the person that makes the decision. And then, you know, Tom, that when I was really looking for a couple high-end GCs, I did that, are your painters holding you hostage postcard. And I sent out 250 cards to 250 companies. I wound up getting two, ultimately. That I started doing, which is really was my target, right? I was just trying to find.
I remember that. Yeah. They were big chunks of money from these two on every project in each year. So
exactly. And just trying to find, like, it was very tactical on who I was going for to get my brand in front of the right customers. And again, my goal with that was to get their repaint business, not even their new construction business. So I just wanted to get in their client ecosystem. So it's just like you talked about, you were banging doors in the early days. It's the same thing. It's like we have technology to work for us. And you have postcards, email, phone, whatever. Find companies you want to align with that like suit your vision and the quality of customer you want and just go at it. They all need help. And they always get some schedule crunch where they may be set up with a painter, but that guy's busy or sick or drunk or something else and they need you.
Yeah, and Apex, I would just, I mean, you got technology. I would be doing content on social media that's geared towards GCs. You're on YouTube right now watching us. If you're still here, I'd create a YouTube channel and I would answer questions that are common with GCs and know their pain points and create content around those things. And I would build your brand and establish yourself, position yourself as the expert. This is about driving around your local area and you see a builder that you don't already know and you haven't shaken hands with. You get out of your truck and you go meet them. And you go, hey, apparently you do lifts here, right? You rent lifts or sell lifts or whatever. So I'm thinking that's what you do. You know, hey, this is what I do. I thought you might want to know me. Here we are. It's really that hustle and grind. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're marketing your business. Whether it's you personally doing it live like we are right now, or it's through a YouTube channel, it's through a blog post, it's through social media and all these other things, something's always happening. So be fanatical about that. So I'm going to come down here. Dan, we got about 5 minutes left.
We do.
We do, because we have a company meeting.
The Bullfrog Welding said we answered his question, the last three posts at the bottom there. So I think we're good. Jeremy was saying, got fired for trying to convince my boss to plant a flag and stop doing side work. So more of a statement than a question, but
yeah, good.
What do you feel about that situation, Tom?
I think it's good. I think there's plenty of people out there that will respect you, that will actually pay their taxes and do things right with work comp and not do side jobs for cash and build an actual brand and give you a future, man. So congratulations on getting fired.
That's what I was saying. That was a win, because you don't want to be on some dude that's just kind of, as you say, half-assed, and you have to be whole-assed in it.
There you go. All right. So Bullfrog Welding, we'll end with this one here today. Jeremiah with Bullfrog Welding. How do I find more ideal customers without the word of mouth that I'm using now? I'm on Google Maps, Facebook, Yelp, Instagram, and even Pinterest. And then I'll read his other posts. Do you think it's that I'm not posting enough to those platforms? Find my not narrowing down the target to find these. You got to speak English for me. Sorry. and he asked, He just asked my question. Thank you. He asked it or answered it. I don't know. I can't get this. So let me just say this. Bullfrog, if you're posting and nobody gives a crap, okay, first of all, when you first start, nobody's going to give a crap. So I did hundreds of podcasts and probably well over 100 YouTube videos before anyone gave me the time of day, okay? So I would encourage you to keep going. However, you might need to up your game and be more personal, more relevant. A lot of guys will post things, and Bullfrog, I'm not saying you do, but like I will see, Dan, a lot of guys go on Instagram, which is a gold mine for contractors, by the way, for relationship mm-hmm. stuff. And they'll post something like, hey, we have a sale on blah, blah, blah. And they'll do like a picture of a house and a sale and call blah, blah, blah. And that's their social media post. Guys, that is lame. Okay. It's just lame. That's all I can say. All right. One of the things you guys are going to be seeing for me and my team doesn't even know this yet, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be creating content because I put the plan together this morning that outlines our 9 company values. You know, one of them's get oxygen, right? I answered that earlier in another question. And so I'm going to pull out a camera and I'm going to do a video and I'm going to be like, hey, you know, one of our values in the fight is get oxygen. And what does that really mean? You know, it really means that we care about taking care of ourselves, that we know we can't serve at the amount of people at the level we continually serve people to help them with their life and their business and their relationships and their health if we're not dialed in ourselves. And I'm going to go 90 seconds or so on just a video and start posting things like that. Or another way that you can share your values with the world. Let's say we have one of ours is play the long game and say I own a painting company. I don't know. I own a painting company or whatever company again. And I might go live on the job site and go, hey, guys, I want you to meet Sam. Sam is the crew leader on this project here in such and such town here in this neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. And Sam doesn't even know what I'm going to say right now. But I just walked in and I watched him and the way he approached this and blah, blah, blah. And he did this. And I just stood back for about 5 minutes and watched what Sam did. And dude, I just want to give you props right now for playing the long game. That's one of our values in the company. You didn't take a shortcut on this thing. I actually watched how you went the extra mile to do a little more prep work on that surface or whatever it is. And I'm going to high five them where the camera's here and I'm going to high five. It's real life.
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff, Bullfrog, that is going to make you a human being to people. I've said this 1,000 times with the social stuff. Guys, go check out Heiner Outdoor Living. And he's got another account called the_yardist. I think I always say it
wrong.
That's
right.
Yep. Okay. All right. Matt does over $1 million a year in revenue, high-end revenue from his Instagram because he's a human being. So those of you that are doing all this social and content and stuff, and it's not moving the needle, especially if you've been doing it for a while and it's not moving the needle, then you're probably pretty uninspiring and boring. And you need to step your game up and be a human.
Yeah. And I think,
go ahead.
I think it just goes to, I just reading through the lines on his post. It's make sure you ID the ideal client that you're shooting for. If you're just like scattershot content, it's not going to resonate with people. And that's what Matt does so well. He speaks exactly to the clientele that can afford them, to their aesthetics. And then on the Yardist, which is more of his personal thing, he's kind of hitting the heartstrings of the housewives that are stroking the checks for him. So he's very, very precise and very specific. And a lot of people confuse quantity with quality when it comes to, yeah, to social.
Good stuff. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.